The date was February 21st through the 24th of 2019. And the place was Valley View Bible Camp. The 24/7 men's weekend was absolutely amazing. We had, oh my goodness, we were fed. We were fed incredible amounts of good food, spiritually and physically. It was an amazing weekend where we had men together who not only learned from the Word, we got to throw axes and hatchets, and man, we had fun. We went tubing. Oh, did we tube? My body still is a little sore from the amount of times I went down that hill. We had so much fun and we learned so much. But beyond all of that, we had an incredible time of fellowship. And as part of the weekend, I got to know a gentleman by the name of Don who grows potatoes. A lot of potatoes. About 7 million pounds of potatoes. And I know that technology played a lot in the modern farm, but I did not realize how much it plays in the farm these days. His farm uses drone technology to check, they fly over the fields to check the fields when they're growing instead of actually going out in the fields and crushing plants. But they use this drone technology to, and he says they need to go over the video of the fields that they record, and they ensure that all the irrigation is running properly, and it's all computer run. In fact, every single tractor, combine, sprayer, all of that stuff is guided by satellite GPS, and it has sub-inch accuracy so that every section of soil, every bit of soil, is none of it is missed. That all the rows are perfectly aligned. So much so that the guys in the tractors don't even drive the tractors. They're too busy monitoring the computers and watching what's happening behind the tractor to care about where the tractor is going, because it's just going by GPS. Like, it's absolutely amazing. He can take his phone and log into their mainframe and make sure and adjust the temperature, the humidity, and a whole bunch of other things for the potato storage facilities that they have, right from his phone. I gotta say, you know, I almost imagine being in one of those tractors, and it's like being on the bridge of the USS Enterprise, right? Like, this is just amazing with all the screens and the gadgets, to say the absolute very least. Farming has changed over the years. Because in Jesus' time, farmers used a unique method of sowing seeds, which was called broadcast. It doesn't work for potatoes, by the way. You can't just throw your potatoes out in the field and hope they grow. They did broadcast seeding. They didn't have GPS or tractors or all of the cell phones to check. Farming has changed. So, since none of us, or very few of us, may have been aware of all of that technology in farming, let's go back to the old school farming this morning. Because that's what Jesus was talking about. And in Mark chapter 4, as we unpack this parable, which is, I believe, a fairly common known parable, the parable of the sower, the parable of the seeds. No, the parable of the soils is what it really should be called. We begin with the setting. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and he sat in it out on the lake. And while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. Now, Jesus often taught in the synagogues. But he also taught by the sea. And I love that he used different locations to teach, because we don't just learn here in our sanctuary. We need to learn in other places, and we need to go and take the gospel to other places than just this room. I encourage you to go not just preach in our setting here, but to take it to the sea. Well, okay, maybe not the sea. We'll let Kira do that. She's in BC. But take it to wherever you happen to be. We must be willing to do the same. And this crowd is massive. It is so big that Jesus decides, I'm going to get into a boat and I'm going to sit down. And the crowd fanned out on this slope, this hillside. It's a natural amphitheater. And where they could hear him clearly. And he taught them many things by parables. Now Jesus is taking common actions and using them to teach spiritual truths. You see, a parable is an earthly story with heavenly implications and heavenly meanings. And there are approximately 35 parables found in the Gospels. Now, I want us to drop down to verse 10. We're looking at 20 verses today, but we've read the first few. Let's drop down to verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parable. And he told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Now, I love how Jesus taught publicly, but he also explained what he meant privately. That it's a good model for us. We must gather publicly, but we also must meet with him privately. We must meet with him privately in order to grow, because parables reveal and conceal. We receive what we're receptive to. Folks, if you're not open to God right now, you're probably not going to get anything about what I'm saying. Only those with a receptive heart will receive what God wants to reveal. And verse 13 tells us that if we understand this parable, we will be able to understand other parables as well. And Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parables?" Or don't you, pardon me. We better pay attention right now. Fortunately, we don't have to guess about the meaning of this message, because Jesus provides an interpretation for his disciples beginning in verse 14. He says, "The farmer sows. The farmer sows the word." Most parables have one overall meaning with lots of other applications. And I feel that this parable can be summarized like this. When you go and sow, the kingdom of God will grow. When you go and sow, the kingdom of God will grow. Verse 3 says this. "Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seeds." Now, Jesus wants them and us to lean in and listen. I want everybody to freeze. Don't move. Seriously, don't move. But I need you to move your heads just a little bit. Because there is one person here this morning who leans in almost every week. That's right. I want you to turn your heads and look at Julie. Yes, and I'm embarrassing her. But she leans forward. You could tell that she's, not that you guys aren't, but she leans in and listens. And Jesus is saying, listen, lean in. Everyone back then understood how seeds were sown. They knew how it all worked. Jesus is even pointing out to us. He may have even been sitting there and look over there. A farmer is sowing his seed. He may have done that. If the location that was pointed out to me where this took place, just a little ways away, is actually a banana field. I don't know if it was applicable, or a banana field, but it probably wasn't. But a farmer would basically have this leather pouch, and it was full of seeds. And he would take that, and he would take a handful, and he would begin to scatter, and scatter, and scatter. And he would just broadcast out that seed. And by doing that, he would walk down these paths and sling out that seed, kind of like we do when we're planting grass. Now let's go with a more applicable. When we're salting our sidewalks, right? We throw it out. We just broadcast it out there. And the seed would be broadcasted to all sorts of soil. Some good, some not so good, some outright bad. But the farmer's goal was to get his good seed into good soil so that it would grow, because the seed has life in it. The seed is small but powerful. It will produce fruit if the conditions are right. But it must be planted in good soil in order to achieve its purpose. You ever wonder how someone you love can hear a clear gospel presentation and yet not respond by receiving Christ? You ever wondered that? Are you bothered when you see someone seemingly make a decision for Christ and get all excited about it, only to end up drifting away a short time later? Does it trouble you when others get all wrapped up in the worries of this world, and then they bottom out spiritually? What's up with all of that? Why do people do that? How about, let's bring it home closer than that. Have you ever heard a sermon and it just kind of bounce, it goes right on by? You ever had the worries of this world take, you know, you get all excited, oh, this is a great message, but then something comes in and just chokes it out in your life? Oh, this is a great idea, I'm going to go. Not only are these soils different types of people, but I think that these soils may be different types of our own heart at different times in our life. Because I'll be honest, I sit through and listen to teaching, and sometimes it just, I got a thousand other things on my mind. It doesn't penetrate into my heart. Is it a good message? Yeah, it's good teaching. Yeah, but it just, I'm not there today. Where are you today? I hope today you are good soil to have His word penetrate and grow. The bottom line in these situations, whether it's ourselves or others, is that conversion must happen. And if it bounces off of us and it's time after time after time, we hear the word and we just never change, then that conversion may never have happened yet. It may seem like it did, but the problem was with the soil or the soul, not with the seed or the sower. And as we walk through this passage, ask yourself, which kind of soil represents your soul? And in this parable, there are four types of soil. These four soils represent four different responses to the Word of God. And it's our privilege to ponder the parable and then hear how Jesus interprets it and applies it. And by the way, that's the right way to study the Bible. Begin with observation. What does it say? Then go to interpretation. What does it mean? And then end with application. How can I live out this word? Now, the first soil that we see is a hard soil or a hard heart. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came down and ate it up. Blasted birds. How dare they search for food amongst what I'm trying to plant? Birds. Squirrels. Rabbits. Oh, rabbits. How dare they? Well, fields in Israel were small. They were separated from one another by paths that became like concrete. From all the people and all the animals walking on them. And the seed that hit that hard ground would just lie there until the birds gobbled it up. In our culture, it would be like throwing grass seed on our sidewalks. What good is that? Well, unless you got cracks in your sidewalk, that's, you know. And Jesus interprets this first type of soil down in verse 15. But some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And this phrase "takes away" means to seize with force, to rob. And I want you to notice that Satan does this immediately. He loves to bring confusion, to cause callousness when the gospel is communicated. He sows that within our hearts, that we don't hear the word, that we don't listen to the word, that we don't receive the word. It just hits us and bounces off. It may even lie there for some time, but we're just not letting it penetrate. Are there any hard hearts here today? It's kind of an odd question, because if there are, you're probably not even listening. Do you feel cold or calloused? Have the feet of others beat you into a hard place? Have you been trampled on? Do you have protracted pain, bitterness? Has it put you in a bad place where you're just here because, well, I feel I should be? Have you been burned in the past? Maybe even by a church or a church member. And you've locked your heart into a vault. When you go and you sow, the kingdom of God will grow. But you can't go and sow if you are this hard heart. The second one is a hollow heart. It's described in verse 5 and 6. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. See, in that part of the world, much of the land is rocky. Just a thin layer of soil on the top of it. And the sun would bake the rocks, which would keep the soil warm, thus causing the seed to germinate quickly. But because there was no root system, because it's on rock, these plants would wither and die. And when these people hear the message, they become very exuberant and emotional. And verse 16 tells us, others are like the seed sown in rocky places. They hear the word, at once receive it with joy. And the soil looks ready, but the problem comes. The problem comes when problems come. Because their emotional enthusiasm, their roots didn't go deep as we see in verse 17. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. As soon as difficulties come, they ditch their superficial spirituality. And a person like this has a hollow heart that was never converted in the first place. Behind their emotional fervor is an empty faith. We could call it convenient Christianity, because this person likes the idea of forgiveness, of heaven, of receiving God's favor, but doesn't want any difficulties. And this individual wants emotional. They want emotionalism, not exegesis of the word. Because they don't even understand the word exegesis. Do you guys? No? Exegesis means digging in and learning, explaining, extrapolating. Or maybe the fault lies with the gospel presentation that was superficial and focused only on having great health and gigantic wealth and benefits that were promised without any counting of the cost. You see, a shallow gospel can lead to a hollow response. Christianity is not about sustaining some sort of an emotional high. You know that Jesus doesn't say if tribulations come, but when it comes. You see, this word tribulation has in its background from the threshing roller used to smash grain. It means to crush, to press, to squeeze, to break. And honestly, I believe the Western church doesn't have a very good theology of suffering. We have come to think that all suffering is bad, all suffering is demonic, and therefore it should be avoided. There certainly is this type of suffering. But troubles and tribulations will strengthen true believers. It also reveals those who have had an emotional experience. It's common for people to bail on Christ when things get challenging. But James chapter 1 says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may mature and be complete, not lacking anything. It's almost like that catch 22. I need experience to get a job, but I can't get a job because I have no experience. Well, Christ is telling us, consider it joy when you face trials. I don't like trials. I don't like persecution. Just don't pray for patience. Patience is what brings us trials and testing of our faith and perseverance. Did you have an emotional response some time ago, but now you've fallen away? Were you happy about Jesus, but now you kind of feel a little bit hollow inside? Have problems come up with your job, with your family, with your health, whatever it is? Inside, are you angry because you're thinking you didn't sign up for this? Perhaps you just focused on the benefits of belief without counting the costs of commitment. Those costs of repentance, dying to self, being all in for the one who is all in for you. Maybe you've never really been converted. But when you go and sow, the kingdom of God will grow. The third soil is a hindered soil, or a hindered heart. Seeds fall on this third kind of soil, only to be choked out by weeds. And Jesus describes it this way in verse 7. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. And the word choked means to utterly choke to death, to smother, to destroy. This seed is strangled by the thorns and the thistles, and it ends up producing nothing. Have you noticed how hard it is to grow a garden when it's full of weeds? The seeds of the weeds are endemic to the soil. It means that the weeds are already there. Face it, we are weedy soil. John Calvin referred to the human heart as a perpetual idol factory. We just keep finding things to be an idol in our life. And Jesus interprets the soil in verse 18. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the words, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So I see three things here that hinder us, that hinder the heart from being converted. First is worries of this world. This is anxiety. The person is so caught up with the cares and the concerns that they have that they can't focus on faith. They can't focus on God. This is a worry wart. You guys know what I'm talking about. The person who's just everything seems to be more important than what is important. Now, I'm not saying that all of our concerns aren't important. But when they're elevated beyond that of Christ and we think that our worries can't even be solved by Christ, our faith is choked out. And secondly, we see the deceitfulness of riches. To be deceived means to be seduced, and that's exactly what the love of money can do to us. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says, not to set our hopes on uncertainty of riches. G. Campbell Morgan believed that persecution is Satan's second best weapon. His first is materialism. Because let's be honest, when we've got stuff and things to occupy our thoughts and our minds and our activities, our Bibles gain dust. We get pulled away because I've got to go do this. I've got to go do that. I'll go to church next week. And next week becomes the next week, and the week after that. And before we realize it, we haven't been to church in several months. We haven't opened our Bibles. You can literally blow the dust off of it. And finally, we see the desires for other things. And this phrase, desires for other things, can be translated as lusting for all of the rest. Luke 8:14 defines this as the pleasures of life. See, God's word can't thrive or survive in a hindered heart. Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full. They're never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. If you're distracted, you will eventually depart. If you're all focused on the ways of this world, the word will be choked out. If you have a hindered heart, there will be no harvest. But the last soil is a humble heart, a humble soil. It produces a crop, as seen in verse 8. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up, it grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. And the good ground was not hard, it was not hollow, it was not hindered. And if a farmer during that time had a harvest that was 7 times, that was looked at as bountiful. It was a good crop. To have yields of 30, 60, or 100 would be absolutely astonishing. But I want you to notice the 4 words that show a continuous action: produced, growing, increasing, and yielding. When you go and you sow, the kingdom of God will grow. And I picture Jesus actually smiling as he declares in verse 20. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. You see, this word good refers to that which is excellent, which is beautiful. And a humble-hearted person hears and accepts and bears fruit. Luke 18, verse 15 says that this person keeps the word and bears fruit with patience. He listens to the Lord. He loves him and he lives it out. And saving faith produces fruit. You guys familiar with the Bereans in Acts chapter 17? The Bereans, it is said of them in verse 11 that they received the word with all eagerness, fruit bearing. Is the mark of a disciple according to Jesus in John 15. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. When we are faithful, we will be fruitful, maybe even a little nutty. Let's go back to verse 9. Kind of missed that one. And in verse 9, Jesus indicates clearly here that the crop is actually corn. And Jesus said, "Let he who has ears to hear, let him hear." Obviously corn. Okay, maybe not. But one of the keys to living the Christian life is to never stop listening to the Lord. Do we hear and heed what he says? If we are not willing to heed what God says, we won't hear what he says. But if you're willing to love God, then you will listen. And here are some ways that we can both hear and heed God's word. Trust the word of God to produce lasting growth. We will unashamedly continue to preach the gospel and to teach his word here at Maranatha. Because when you speak into those who are not yet saved, make sure to continuously sow the seed of God's word into hearts, and not just your own thoughts or political perspectives or opinions or ideas. Sow God's word. We don't need to have all of the answers, but we need to know that the answers are found in the Word of God. You see, when it comes to sowing the seeds of the gospel, it is our job to sow. The Lord will take care of the rest. The reality is that a small percentage of what is planted actually grows to maturity. If we use this parable as an example, one out of every four, 25%, actually bears fruit. So don't despair. Just keep sowing. Keep smiling. Keep serving the word of God, because not all believers will bear the same amount of fruit. We will bear some, but don't be jealous of others who seem to bear more. So you're bearing 30. Someone else is 60. Someone else is 100. That's okay. We need to rejoice in that. But don't use that as an excuse to coast. Oh, well, I do it occasionally. Let someone else do it. That's more their gifting. Isn't that what we say? The key is to use what you have been given for God's glory. Because if you go and sow, the kingdom of God will grow. The harvest will be huge. When the seed of the gospel gets into humble hearts, exponential growth will happen. That's really the point of this parable. When you go and sow, the kingdom of God will grow. Think about your life as a believer. This last weekend at the men's weekend, we were taught to sow the gospel into ourselves on a daily basis. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day so that we can go out and sow the gospel. To believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior today. To know that He died on the cross for me today because I need Him today. I need Him right now. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. This parable must ultimately become personal. Because if we don't believe it ourselves, if we don't have that humble soil of a heart, we will never go and sow. We will find other things to keep our days busy. We will find other things to choke out our desires. We will just straight up not even pick up the Word of God and sow that gospel into our lives because we will be busy with everything else. It must be personal. And it's interesting that each of these four soil types hear the Word. They all hear it. You see, in the first instance, the seed fell on the trampled trail. The seed was sown. They hear it. In the second, it fell on rocky ground. They hear it. The third, the seed settled among the thorns. They hear it. The fourth, the seed went into good soil. Have you allowed God's word into your life? Is your heart good soil today? Is the gospel that we have heard today penetrating into your heart? Are you ready to go and sow, to see the kingdom of God grow? Do you even want that? Folks, I don't know what else to say, but I pray that our hearts are good soil, that we we take the gospel into our hearts daily, and that we take that gospel out with us, and that we sow it to the people that we encounter. The gospel is an amazing thing. The message of God is an amazing thing. It has transformed my life. Think about your life. How has the gospel transformed you? Man, I think of my life. Wow. I'm fairly convinced that without the gospel and without Jesus in my life today, had I continued on the path that I was going, I probably would have ended up in jail. Or worse. But he has transformed my life. Has he transformed yours? Are you allowing the gospel to grow and do its work? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we are not just the crowd that gathered to hear what you had to say, to see what you might do. I pray that we would not be these different types of soil, but that we would be the good soil each and every day. That we would not fall into temptations of the world. That the desires of wealth and other things consume us. But that we would be that good soil, that humble heart that desires to see your kingdom grow and desires to bear fruit for you. Father, I pray that we would be amazed each and every day at your word. That we would be amazed because we have been in your presence today and tomorrow and the next day. That we would be amazed at the wonder of the fact that you love us so much. That you sent your son to us. Father, yes, we admit that we are sinners, that we stand condemned, that we are unclean because of it, but because of what Jesus did and the gospel, we can be your children. Father, I pray that the word that has been spoken this morning would not go out and fall on deaf ears, but that it would grow in our hearts and cause us to go and sow in others. We pray in your mighty and precious name this morning, Jesus. Amen.